and you repeat after me, okay? Because it's a call and response. Arise, shine.
Arise, shine.
For your light has come.
For your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord.
And the glory of the Lord.
Has risen upon you.
Has risen upon you.
Oh, and looky here. It's like the words of Scripture. And we're singing the first words of this Scripture passage. But this song is so fun. If you can't, we'll sing it a couple times. We'll sing it. I'll just point to you and you sing it with me, okay? So we'll do it one more time because we're singing call and response. All right? Arise, shine.
Arise, shine.
For your light has come.
For your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord.
And the glory of the Lord.
Has risen upon you.
Has risen upon you.
Great. And now do your bold part. We're doing the call to worship. So we just sang the first verse. Now you're saying the bold.
You did and made this heart.
you to take a moment as we continue in a spirit of prayer. I invite you to take a moment and turn your attention inward. And find your center, your anger, your inner light, which darkness can never extinguish. May it be that on this Epiphany Sunday, you begin to trust the guiding of your inner light. Like the Magi followed the star, may we listen to and follow the prompting, the guiding of God's Spirit within us. And I invite you to turn your attention outward now. And come to recognize the light within each of the people who are gathered around you. If you have an inner light, then so do they. I invite you to take a moment and turn your attention outward and maybe even look at the people who are seated around you. Come to recognize the presence of the inner light within them. And may this recognition soften us and guide us still. May we be people of love, guided by love, as we surround one another with love. May we recognize the presence of God within and all around us. As we become people of love, we learn to listen, to pray, to hear and experience life in new ways. We help share in one another's joys, and we help carry one another's burdens. This is what we do. This is who we are. Are there joys or concerns that you would share at this time? Prayers that you would like to leave, to lift up and to offer?
I'd ask for prayers for her college family. And she is a 14-year-old who has osteosarcoma, and she's now preparing for her last months of life. So just to keep Gabby and Katie and Natalia in their prayers.
I want to thank everybody for your prayers during my surgery on Wednesday. I'm doing a lot better. Thank you for your prayers and your concern and your love.
Hi, I had a Facebook message about Robin. She had a rough day the day after her surgery at Mayo, but she was doing better on Friday. And she has a gal who has accompanied her there in this statement.
Prayers for Robin. And prayers for people who are, I was going to say, I'm not going to name names, I'm naming names, Mary and Rob, who are traveling and staying in Florida for a few months, along with everybody who is here and with us. and Meredith and Doug and people. She's traveled further than Florida.
Yes.
And prayers for the Eng family and Pat Eng, may her memory be a blessing. We celebrated and witnessed to her life and her death and resurrection on Friday. I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together. We can pray together, saying, O God, may the star we follow be the steady radiance of your mystery, which we discern now only in parts, but can forever trust. Of Epiphany are manifest, meaning we participate in the mysteries of Epiphany. Jesus always includes us in the work of God. And in this blessing and in this burden, we pray like Jesus taught us to pray. We pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who forgive us our sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, continue in a spirit of prayer, I invite you to continue in the celebration of Epiphany. And as you do so, I invite you to practice, at least, to shine. Some of you are looking at me like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. There are lots, I don't know how you shine, but I know you shine. Sometimes I feel like I gotta wear shades that's so bright coming off all of you. Maybe, I know not everybody wants to pass the hat, you know, touch hands in this season of winter, but as you pass the peace, maybe you can shine as you pass the peace. Be your best, shiniest self. manifest today? Would you like to celebrate Epiphany today? Would you like to eat a green puff? I'm totally surprised. Have you ever eaten a green puff before?
No.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if there's a correlation between not wanting to do something and never having done it before. You don't want to do it because you've never done it before. Isn't that an interesting thing? Would you like to try something new?
Wonder why I am the way I am, and then you know why I am the way I am.
It's a holy day. And Lord have mercy, we need holy days, we need holidays, celebrate everything. And there are so many wonderful facets of this beautiful holiday, so many opportunities for me to explore. Epiphany, to make manifest, following your own star, enlightenment, recognizing Christ, going home by another road. I get to think through all of these things, all of these options, and eat cream puffs, because that's what theologians do. And I've been chatting about this with my boyfriend, Steve, who is probably at this very moment speaking on behalf of Simpson Housing at a United Methodist Church in Minneapolis. And I have no idea how it happened, but somehow he got suckered into, he got encouraged, he got conned, he was given the opportunity to give the kids time at this church. Giving kids time, as you know, is not the easiest part of the service. But he thought about it, and he decided, we were talking about this last night, he decided he's going to talk about home and homelessness, which is not a, you can see that when you're talking about the wise men, leaving your home and being homeless, all these good things. And he was going to talk about that at kids' time. And then slightly bring into the conversation that there are 3,000 kids just like them who have no home of their own. And it's nobody's fault. And I'm like, wait, what? No, it's nobody's fault. Well, it's somebody's fault. And he's like, these are kids, Sarah. You can't have them feeling bad because they, because people like them don't have homes. And I'm like, well, how are you going to talk about homelessness and not talk about justice? And he's like, I'm talking to kids. So I'm doing the freaking kids' time so their parents will give money to Simpson. I'm not going to talk about justice to kids. It's not appropriate. And after he started mumbling something about, thanks for no help at all, Sarah, I got to thinking about that. Because, I'm doing adult time. Because it seems like we adults are talking about the same stuff. And I'm trying to figure out, what's appropriate for adults. It sounds like we don't want to deal with the fullness of Epiphany either. So here we have adult Epiphany. We haven't fully dealt with the fullness of Epiphany. I invite you to turn into your Bibles. Find the scripture passage that I read for you today. And in my Bible, it's the visit of the wise men, the escape to Egypt, Matthew 2, massacre of the infants. Matthew 2:16. 16 through 18. Could somebody read that for me when they find it? Read it out loud.
When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more.
That's the fullness of Epiphany. I don't know why we don't include that in the Epiphany story. I don't know why. Is it because we don't think it's relevant? It's relevant. It's the consequence of the visit of the wise men. Is it because we, I don't know. Do you know why? I have some ideas why we tell only half of the Epiphany story. We love the wise men. wise men. And preachers like me, I think, love the idea of the wise men because we get to urge you to give your gold. Right? Have you ever heard a sermon about that? Have you ever heard like 3 sermons about that? The Epiphany story is not about your money. The Epiphany story is about your money. Everything in the Bible is about your money. Your entire faith is about how you live and what you do with what is given you. What you do is who you are going to become. So yes, give your money. But what is the fullness of the Epiphany story about? It's about our children. The Epiphany story is about how we treat our children. What kind of world are we shaping and making and going to pass on to our children? We go through all of this time and money and effort to protect and rescue the Christ child at the expense of so many children. The result is that so many children die. And the community that generated the Gospel of Matthew does not let us off the hook. The community that wrote the Gospel of Matthew leaves this moral dilemma in our faces. In fact, they included this story in the narrative as an essential understanding of the Gospel of Christ. We are always left then with the question of what are we doing? We went through all of this trouble to preserve Jesus at the expense of all of the kids. And he goes and he saves them anyway. We work so hard to keep Jesus alive, and he keeps giving his life away. Epiphany is about so many things, but it is primarily about Jesus, and it is about the kind of leader that he is, and it is about the kind of world his presence on this planet makes. It is about us, and when we recognize him for who he is, what kind of community will we build? What kind of future will we leave for our children? I'm not here to yell at you, although you think I am. But I'm not here to get all political on you, although I think the Bible always leads us in that direction. I want to celebrate you. We have been using the metaphor of a boat. Remember, we're in the nave, we're in the ship together. And I've enjoyed, thoroughly loved, hearing the kids talk about this metaphor because they get it. Or they just love being on a boat. Who doesn't? But if we're a ship together on the sea of God, a boat needs light, lanterns to be seen on the waves. And I know our church, not just our church, but the United Methodist Church is entering into some very weird and wild waters starting in February. And we need you to be light. so that the people around us will come, find safe harbor, be able to ride along on the waves together. Be kind, be just, be light. May it be so. We can share communion together because God invites us to this place. Everybody is welcome in this room, in this place, at this table. This is not my table. This is not your table. This is God's table. And everybody is welcome. All creation is welcome in this feast of grace, of love, and light. Do you want to read? Are you feeling comfortable to read? I'll get that microphone.
Still, the light shines, and the darkness does not overcome it. At this table, Christ is revealed in the ordinariness of life, as once he was revealed in a child playing in his neighborhood, a child trusting his parents to keep him safe. Now he is revealed in a meal shared among the family of God, simple bread and juice, the stuff of life handed down from generation to generation.
It is here, at Christ's table, where brokenness leads to becoming whole. It is here, at Christ's table, where cracks allow light to shine forth. It is here, at Christ's table, where in the glory of the light, you discern the Spirit most clearly, and where we are given eyes to recognize God, present at every table.
This is not a feast for United Methodists. This table does not belong to the church. This is the joyful feast of the people of God, and it is the Spirit of Christ who invites you, all of you, to come, eat, drink, and see. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, for your star shines still in the night sky, guiding your people onto paths of love and justice.
In the beginning, you brought light into darkness and created a people to reflect your glory. When we have lost our way or turned away, you showed the light all the brighter. All of us, the words of prophets, and even in the life of your Jesus, who was born as we are born, breathed and ate and walked and lived as we do, who not only revealed your way, but encouraged us to claim for ourselves the life and power of Christ.
And even now, your Spirit burns like flame in our hearts, in the community, in your world, at this table.
As we come, drawn to your presence, the light, we pray for your light to shine gently on those wounded places of our hearts, where we carry burdens of hurt, of grief, fear. We see violence and hatred, power misused, and people treated as disposable.
Give us courage to forge a new way. Empower us to refuse to go down the same old, well-worn paths. We know where they lead. When we shade our eyes against the brightness of your way, help us to see what you see. Go where you want us to go.
Yours. As we who are many are gathered like grain into one body, may your Spirit knit us together. As we bring the gifts we have to offer, may our hearts be open to receive your love again this day, and may your church be strengthened to be a gift of goodness to your world.
As we share the same meal where Christ has shared with disciples, with enemies, with the church through the ages, may our hearts and minds be opened, and may we recognize you. May we recognize you in the breaking of the bread.
I invite you, come forward. Come and eat. May you know the Spirit of God within you. May you recognize the light. Go in peace. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And Christ is present with us now. May you go in the pure, pure light of Christ. May you be empowered by grace and peace. Received the body, the strength, the life, the love of Christ. May you go where he goes. May you do what he does. May you become more and more like Jesus. Amen. make manifest. You who are empowered by Christ, you have the life, the love of Christ within you now. Go and shine. Amen.
Pastor?
Oh, missing somebody? Thank you. stewardship campaign, and also to learn more about the options that we have before us as a church. You maybe have noticed that the nursery school, University Nursery School, is left. They are totally gone. Take a look through all those empty rooms. And we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do. There was an interesting article in the paper about them this morning. I don't know if you saw it on the cover. You can get some coffee and some snacks, but then come back up here. The meeting will be in this room. Oops. Oh boy. We're just having trouble with this microphone. Here.
I have two announcements this morning. Poinsettias must go home today. If you purchased one, please take it home and bring the friends over here. Is a bag of a box of bags, and please put them in the bags because they won't survive when they're cold outside. And the other announcement I have is next Saturday morning at 9:30, we will be taking Christmas down, and I need help. Please see me to sign up. I hope I need about 6 or 8 of you to help me with that. Thank you.
As of now, the grief group is still on for tomorrow from 5:30 to 7. Although I will be here at 5 because of wrong info. If the schools are closed, it will be canceled. Otherwise, we'll just have to call. I plan on being here. I just have to see about the store.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kevin.
It's in the bulletin, but I just want to emphasize a huge thank you to everyone who showed up and did anything to help for Pat in service. You guys did an awesome job.
The Kids Book Club is on Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and we meet downstairs. And if you know any kids that are interested, we're always looking for new members.
Thanks. Next Sunday, JoJo Calvin Langdon will be preaching. And there will be students from the United Campus Ministries leading worship. You won't want to miss this. And as you come, bring some extra money to give to them and to make an offering to United Campus Ministries. United Campus Ministries is a joint campus ministry program at UMD, just across the street. They are us, we are them. And just so you know, there are 13 campus ministries at UMD. And of the 13, there are 2 that are open and affirming and inclusive of everyone, and that is us and the Lutheran Campus Ministry. So this is a wonderful ministry to support, and I encourage you to do that, and you can do that next Sunday when JoJo Coffin Langdon is here. I will be here too. I invite you to join to sing, Shine, Jesus, shine.